It's one thing to grant patents, but continuously improving their quality and transparency of the process, that's something else again. But those were the goals of the Patent Reform Act, which was passed and became law 1 year ago. Drew Hirschfeld is the Commissioner of Patents at the Patent and Trademark Office. He gave me an update on where things stand now.
Patent quality is something that we strive to improve all the time. And our examiners over the years have done an excellent job of high quality issuance of patents. And what we're hearing from our stakeholders is this is an area where continued improvement would be desired. And so we've really tried to think out of the box in different ways from the past to see how we can make some meaningful changes in improving the quality of the patents that we issue.
All right, so how are you looking at that?
Well, we're looking at that a number of different ways. We've engaged our stakeholders and heard from them about a number of topics. And we're on the cusp of the putting together initiatives that we will move forward to improve quality. I'd like to highlight one of those, which is particularly important to me, and that's clarity of the patent prosecution record. So that's something that we're striving to improve. We've heard from our stakeholders that while we do a great job of issuing a patent, saying what is and isn't deserving of a patent, people feel that we might be needing more in defining what terms mean so that we can help the patents provide the public notice function that they're intended to, and third parties can really understand the meaning of patents.
So patent quality itself, then, what are the elements of patent quality? I mean, there's process quality, but what makes a quality patent in the first place?
Well, I think a quality patent is one that would withstand challenge. It is one that will also be very clear to the public in what its boundaries are, so that somebody who might be a potential competitor for against a patent will understand the scope, understand what practices they can do and when they would be infringing and not. And again, the patent would be able to withstand any challenges.
All right. And so let's talk about the process a minute, because part of the issue with Patent and Trademark Office is the big backlog of patent applications that you have, and also the time it takes between submission and getting a decision. And you've been working on that whole issue also.
Yes, we have. So in about 2009, our backlog hit a high of well over 750,000 applications waiting for examination. We've reduced that application to about just over 550,000 applications. So we've made great strides in that regard. Our total pendency, which is the measure of time it takes somebody to get a final decision on their patent application, has been reduced from well over 3 years to just now over 2 years. So we've certainly made significant progress.
And and you hope to keep chipping away at that, those numbers?
We certainly do. So we've been spending significant resources in making sure our workforce is appropriately sized to make sure that we can address the backlog, and we're certainly on track to continue to make improvements as we go. I did also want to mention that we've started some other programs as well to make sure that our applicants for patent have the right programs for them. And one of those is something that we call Track 1, or prioritized examination. And this is something that did come out of patent reform, which you mentioned earlier, and it enables our inventors to take a fast-track examination of their application, so that rather than wait the now over 2 years for a final disposition, they can have that final disposition in under a year's time, or about a year.
And so if your average is 2 years, some of them take 1 year, some of them probably take longer than 2 years. Is there anything short of paying for the fast track plan? Is there something or some things that patent applicants can do to make their applications go faster? In other words, can they simplify paperwork? Can they reduce unnecessary documentation? Are there things that can make it easier for examiners, in other words?
There is certainly things that applicants can do, and we've been saying at the Patent and Trademark Office that quality is a shared responsibility, right? So one of the things that applicants can do is make sure that their applications are in the best order for examination when they're filed with the USPTO. And I can tell you, as a former examiner, I know it's a lot easier to examine a high-quality application that comes in the door than it is one that might have some other problems that need to be corrected, and hence take time and add time to the system.
I mean, examiners are measured on how fast and how efficiently they process these things. As an examiner, would you have the tendency to take a look at one that looks like it's going to be a real hairball and just keep pushing it aside so you could process good-looking ones faster and you know, keep working and keep your own productivity up?
No, well, you are correct that examiners are measured on productivity, but we also work on a first-in, first-out system. So examiners well understand that they're balancing different applications on their docket. Some, of course, will be faster to work on than others, but certainly we encourage and have processes in place to make sure our examiners work the cases in the order they're received.
We're speaking with Drew Hirschfeld. He's commissioner for patents at the Patent and Trademark Office. And are there certain industries or certain fields where the applications tend to just be slower because of either the nature of the patents or the way people submit their paperwork?
Well, you have a variety of technologies at the USPTO. So virtually everything that you can think of, people can apply for patents on. So what you have is you have technologies where it is a quicker examination, might be a low-tech technology, so to speak. And then you have other technologies where it might be more challenging to examine given the level of the technological advancement. So there is a very wide variety that our examiners see, and every examiner is specialized in a particular area.
And I guess some industries are maybe more litigious than others, too, and that causes problems.
Well, it certainly can. We have what we call, you know, crowded technology. So if there's a lot of inventions in a particular area, that can make it more challenging to examine because the changes, so to speak, to the prior art and the other inventions are smaller in nature, making it very difficult to determine what should be deserving of a patent.
Now, something else in the patent reform was to try to get at what at least members of Congress called the patent troll issue, where people hoard patents, you know, and wait to pounce legally. What's going on that front?
So we have taken a number of steps to address the patent troll issue. And actually, the White House had a series of executive actions directed to this measure. And one of those measures did deal with claim clarity, and that's what I spoke about earlier. So our main way to address this particular issue is to make sure that our patents are extremely clear on their face. So we're looking at ways to have examiners take additional steps to make sure that they're defining what they think a patent means in the record so that third parties can know exactly what the examiner thought when they were examining the application, thus making it harder to misuse a patent or use it in a way that was not intended earlier on.
And so could that help reduce the number of so-called junk patents? I know that's not your word, but that's a word that's been out there in the industry that are just simply filed and sometimes granted for the purposes of hoarding and waiting till there's a legal opportunity.
So I think it can. I think the more clear that we are in what we do, the better chance the applicant, even during prosecution, can know what our position is. And so I'm a firm believer in being very open and transparent. And if we can, in our office actions, can clearly convey our positions, the applicant for patent will be able to know exactly what we're thinking, can make sure that it's in accordance with their thoughts, or if it's not in accordance, then they have that chance to point that out. And it's through that open discussion that I think we can get higher quality patents.
And on that issue of transparency, is it possible for third parties to just peer into a particular application as it winds its way through and track it, even if you're not a party to it? Can you understand what's happening maybe in the field that you're operating in?
So most of our prosecution records are available to the public. So third parties certainly can look at the prosecution history to make sure that helps inform them in their interpretation of the patent that might arise.
And I've been talking about paperwork several times, but it's not really all paper anymore, is it?
Well, no, it's not paper. I mean, there's electronic systems that our examiners do searching, and our entire process is electronic.
But those little shoe boxes, they'll never go away completely?
So they're electronic shoe boxes, so to speak, right now. Those of us, I've been here at the USPTO for 21 years, and I did examine in those shoeboxes, but right now most of our searching is done electronically.